You're listening to the Theology of Music podcast. Follow on YouTube and Instagram, support through buymeacoffee.com, and subscribe to the only podcast exploring the hidden ecosystems within the theology of Christian music through unique and uniting conversations.
Nope. Well, welcome to the Theology of Music podcast. My name is Joel. Today, I am joined by yet another perfect guest for the podcast. He is also a guest that I was able to secure from the Songwriters Retreat. So I want to say, if you're a podcaster and you need podcast guests within the realm of Christian music, go to a Songwriters Retreat because it's the great place to get guests. But it has been fantastic. I mean, I've been able to have, I think I still have six other people. Jackie herself in Hunter Knows Her is going to be on the podcast. Tons of, and the greatest thing about it is all of these people, guys, they're incredibly humble, right? And someone just as humble is on this podcast today, and that is Hunter Frazier. And thank you so much. I'm going to read your bio, but I first want to welcome you to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Joel. Yeah, I don't know what my bio says, but let's find out together.
I can't wait because it's pretty funny. I don't know how old this is, but it says, Hunter is a Minneapolis-based singer-songwriter and worship leader. Oh. From an early age, Hunter has been honing his craft as a writer and performer. This is the best part. He got his start at, and then insert three question marks. No joke.
That's the end of it.
He got his start at three question marks and then says working with, so he got a start at age unknown, working with renowned worship leader Joel Hanson at Church of the Open Door.
Whoa.
Was that true?
It is. What? is he renowned? Figure out who wrote this? Because they almost make me sound like a big deal.
Well, and then they say, they keep going. They don't stop.
Oh my gosh.
Working under Joel allowed Hunter to develop a uniquely honest and personal style of worship, both as a leader and songwriter. In 2014, Hunter released his first EP, Past the Stars, to much acclaim.
To much acclaim. It says, like, I think 12 people listened to that when it was released.
And that was much acclaim. The songs featured were heartfelt prayers written to contemporary, lighthearted instrumentations. Mm. Hunter is currently incredibly active as a worship leader here in the Twin Cities, working primarily at Rock Point Church on top of guest leading for a plethora of congregations around the Twin Cities. This person either just had the thesaurus opened or they are very verbose.
That's incredible. I don't know who wrote that. It probably was me, actually, unfortunately, because that is... Wow, can we just strike this off from the record? That's embarrassing.
What? It's beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Either that person is your biggest fan, or like you said, it's you. But either way, I love it. The much acclaim, and then the uniquely honest and personal style. I love it. I love it. But I will say,
to much acclaim.
I will say, if people haven't heard your music, I give it much acclaim because it is incredible, and it's uniquely fixed in a position of interesting style, because there are, like, you know, you have those electronic style people in the Christian music world, but yours still feel like they feel more worshipful and congregational because you're a worship leader, which is cool. Like, a lot of people are just artists, but because you're a worship leader, your music has a congregational feel to it, which I think makes it a little bit more palatable for someone to just listen to, right? Because it's like the chorus of Great Redeemer. If I stripped it all away, instrumentation-wise, like it, and you just played it on piano, I would say, yeah, that's a worship song. Did you play it that last week at church kind of thing? So I love that. But anyway, thank you for being on this podcast, Hunter.
I'm glad. I love how humble I am when it comes to that bio. That's amazing. It's like, look how humble I am.
I will say, you are...
It's pretty funny.
In your demeanor as well, you are very humble too. So, you know, I met Hunter at the Songwriters Retreat for Lula Street. By the way, plug for Lula Street Records. Man, you're an artist looking to get signed. They're the real deal. Two, Christian Music Marketing, if you need any marketing help for your music. And three, the Songwriters Retreat is amazing. Register for it. I think it's already open for next year, actually. But everyone should register if you're looking to grow in your artistry and your songwriting, and also just meet people like Hunter. Because when I met Hunter, instantly we hit it off as far as our humor went, because we have very similar senses of humor. As we're sitting eating, I'm eating a massive deep fried hot dog, and we're just vibing off of each other the whole time. But also, just you are humble, and the cool thing is your music is so interesting, because you carry yourself with such a humble demeanor. And then yet there is this, and I don't want to sound cliche. Please don't think this is stupid, and I'm not being hyperbolic. There is a dynamite voice that has fire behind it every time you sing. Like there's a soul that just kind of like explodes when you sing. Because there are some times when you were singing at that songwriter's retreat, you were going after it, and I was here for it. I was singing the whole time. This guy has some pipes, great control, a beautiful intonation in his voice, and just this unique punch. And so I thought your voice was incredible.
You're going to make me blush. Oh my gosh.
Good. I should.
Oh. Yeah. So, it was super fun to meet you and hang out along with everyone at the writer's retreat, right? Like so many folks who just carried the kingdom in their hearts and then let that influence the songs that they were writing and the art that they were creating. And that was just so, just that alone. Take away all the writing and the speaking and the worship that we got to do together. Just that alone, getting to meet everyone and look everyone in the eye and see the kingdom held so dearly in everybody's heart. It really filled me spiritually just to see that, and encouraged me so much to see that and say, wow, God, you have hidden your kingdom in each person's heart here. Mm. And to see that and to see how held the kingdom of God is, and how revered and treasured, especially in an age group that I don't know to be very
so true. That's
steadfast.
So fast. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it just blessed me. It sounds cliche to say, but no, I came back just on fire because of that, and feeling not alone because of that.
Amen.
As a creative, and yeah, you are definitely one of those people too where. It was like, oh man, there are a handful of folks that I don't want to stop connecting with.
Yeah.
And finding excuses to encourage and to just reach out and be like, hey man, I love the art you're making. Or I hope today went well. Even something as simple as that. Like there are folks from this retreat that are on my radar because of that. Just because it's better to do anything together. And art is one of those where you're trying to kind of create something, and when you release it, when you give it away, there's this inherently vulnerable element to it. So to have others who can experience that together is so beautiful. So thanks for having me on, Joel. I appreciate it.
Seriously, you make so many good points about that retreat. One of them, amen 20-fold. It was incredible to see the humility in those people. Just everyone. Amazing powerhouse vocalists, incredible songwriters, and the demeanor, wisdom knows what he's doing with those people. And I love what was so cool is so many of the people, and you're signed by Lewis Street, right? Aren't you?
I'm not on their label. I'm on their label services arm, which is sort of their label, but not really their label is maybe
still,
the way to explain that.
You're associated. And I will say Lewis Street has the best humility in their artists that I've seen.
As an organization, they hold it well. I think that draws people.
It blows my mind. I was like, all these people are so humble. And so here's the question, because I do want to ask you a question. You make a great observation about everyone, and I think that goes to say a lot about your shepherd's heart. You can notice that people are holding the kingdom of the Lord deep in their hearts as they treasure it, and as they bring it out when they write and they express themselves through song. So the question, though, Hunter, is none of us are always, we didn't always arrive like that. So what created that in you to where you saw that more and you grew into being more humble? Like, how did you get to this moment where, I'm going to praise you. You're pretty amazing, humble, incredible dude. How did you get here?
Oh, man. It's cheesy, but by the grace of God.
That works.
I know. It's cheesy. There's the tweet if you want it. I think it's just been a constant journey of saying yes as time has gone on. There was just been several experiences in my life that have maybe stripped me of my natural bent. As an oldest child, I'm very accomplishment driven, if that makes sense. from an early age, it was definitely like, you are what you do. Your value comes from what you do. But God, thankfully, didn't let me stay there. And he kind of used a few experiences to really strip me of that and understand that I'm a child of his, and that's the end of it. And if I never accomplish anything, I'm still a child of his, and that's enough. That's the end of the story right there. And I get to join him in his kingdom, full stop. Wow. And everything beyond that is overflow. That's it. And there's a joy that then comes from that. And things are held differently when you get to approach that. So, my college experience was a big one.
Where'd you go to college?
At a small school, Bible University, here in St. Paul, actually.
Wow.
Like 10 minutes away from where I live, which is great.
That's cool.
Yeah, at Northwestern. It was great. I wanted the most expensive backup plan I could think of to music. And so I said, I'm going to go to college and not get a music degree. I'm going to get a public relations degree.
Wow.
I'm sure I use it somehow, but
the irony
meaningless
that your PR degree and your bio has three question marks and unfinished age. The irony.
That's it. Yes. That's the irony right there. Yeah. We were joking before we started this that I spend a lot of time on my music and almost none on how I present myself to the world, non-audio ways.
Yeah, yeah.
And my bio is no exception. So I have a really expensive backup plan that I'm still paying off.
Amen. 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 Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? I say that as I look up at my master's in counseling that I'm still paying off, and I'm sitting here on a podcast. So,
yes. You know. See? Yep. We understand one another.
So here's the thought though, you said that the Lord humbled you and was able to kind of strip away that the self and the worldliness of it all. How did the Lord do that as you kind of served or cut your teeth in worship music at a church?
Yeah. When I started working, so in college, I started working for a church called Rock Point. They're great. They were basically just looking for someone on a Wednesday night to lead their student stuff to start. Okay. And I just couldn't believe that someone would pay me to do music at all in general.
Really?
And so I just couldn't say yes fast enough was kind of how it worked. And in that same moment, I had just found out that I had mono for my entire college career, I know, right? Talk about some craziness. So just shortly after that, I found out that I had mono, and which was kind of an explanation for a few things. The first being, you know, going from high school, a straight A student who was very accomplishment driven, to college where I struggled to get B's. I struggled to understand things. Mostly, like, I struggled to get to class if it was before 11 a.m. It was pretty nuts. Come to find out you can have mono for long periods of time. And, actually a doctor that I had seen, just before college had been treating me for mono like symptoms, already had been kind of like had that in the water of like, I wonder, I'm not sure. Let's just start kind of doing some preventative things. And then I just like went to college and stopped going to the doctor. So nothing happened with that.
As college students do.
Of course. Right. Yeah. You're in your... in the prime of your life, right? Like what could be wrong? It was kind of a weird season, and that's God really used mono to kind of teach me that it's not about me, really. And it's all about what he wants to do and any accomplishments that I may have down the road or to date were about God and what he was doing and by his grace. And so then fast forward to, today, I just actually left Rock Point recently, but that experience was a great one. Can we clip out that sniffle? That was awful. That was terrible.
It's totally, as someone who clears their throat half the time, I think you'll be okay. Keep going.
Let's see. What was I saying? My time at Rock Point was beautiful in that, I really got the opportunity to learn in ministry really quick that my role as a worship leader is to support the vision of the church and to support the leadership of the church. And so there was a humbling there was a humbling element to that as well of, you know, being young, thinking I'm all that. And I have a lot to offer the church, and I have, you know, I'm going to turn this place on its head and revolutionize how we do worship and how we do everything around here. And then kind of pretty quickly coming to the realization that, that's not my job as a worship leader. My job is to serve the church, serve my church family that I'm a part of, where they're at first. And invite them into more and deeper relationship, of course, but not to beat them over the head with a baseball bat of change.
So who changed that in you? Yeah. So who changed that in you? Who? Because we don't usually get there on our own. So who was the person that helped you see that?
Yeah, it was my boss. His name was Doug. Doug Cormany. Yeah. Man, you really did your homework. How did you even find that on the interwebs?
Because I looked up Rock Point and I looked up Twin Cities. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. So Doug he's the worship pastor at Rock Point Church, still is. And yeah, he really, like, his little phrase that he would say is, it's a marathon and you can't turn a ship 180 degrees overnight. Mm-hmm. And then from there, from kind of hearing that and letting that slowly sink in over time, and through some reading and stuff like that, just really getting to a point of like, it's not my job to make this church in my own image, at all. It's my job to humbly serve and to humbly offer what I have to, serve the church family and help us all enter into worship. And to love the church for who she is, capital C and local church community as well, both. And to go from there and allow any change that God has for us as a church family to happen from that place first, and to go from there. Because I think it's really easy to hate on the church. I think it's really easy to say, the church isn't what she should be, or she's broken, or, you know, tear it all down. And I get that frustration. Personally, I understand it. But I think that's a tough place to come from if you want to see change in any organization. And I think God honors when we start from a place of loving the capital C church, loving the bride of Christ for who she is first, and then inviting her into more life from that place, being a part of a church and loving that church body, that church family, that church community. That's and then word. Seeing who the capital C church is as a whole, and just desiring to pour into it.
No, and that, honestly, Hunter, that's just generally convicting for me, and everyone who knows on this podcast knows, like, I used to be a pastor of worship.
Yeah.
Left the church, bad break, didn't go well. It's not that I hate the church. I love the church. I love the big C church. There's the frustrations with the institutional church that now, that's just the things that, like, I'll carry. It's the flag I'll wave of, like, hey, we should think a little bit more intently about why we're doing some things. But I love what you said, because it helps me even now in my season, where it's really easy for me to be that person that can kind of go into church, be in you know, community group, serve on the worship team, but always have this, like, not arm's length view, but like, well, I know the truth about most churches, so, like, I can understand if you're frustrated, because, you know, and there's this, like, air of, yeah, you're frustrated because the church isn't perfect, but I love the church so much, and I cannot believe that the Lord has enabled us through the body of his believers to be the mode by which he spreads the gospel of himself, right? It's not, wow, that's incredible. It's like, yeah, you know, and the institutional church doesn't do it well, and it's this, like, this just kind of, it's like Jim Gaffigan being like,
yeah,
that's racist. Yeah, like that kind of thing. So, but I really appreciate that perspective that you just gave, because a lot of people right now, I mean, you know it. Like, you're not an idiot, and you're on the internet a lot to know.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, a lot of people, I mean, you know, people are frustrated with the church, and there's a lot of condemning of the local church, and because of, I mean, heck, we had 2 weeks ago, we had another person fall from grace on a prominent worship person from Maverick City. That happened. And there's, you know, every so often something happens where someone falls from grace, and it's another example that church is imperfect, and there's another round robin of we have to go through this whole thing. So the question, though, for you is, I think when it comes to your music, right? Because as your bio says, I mean, you've been releasing music since 2014.
Yeah.
That's just a couple days ago, right? It's not super close. How has your view of it all changed? Or like how have you changed in your kind of like approach to music as you've grown and been humbled over the years?
Yeah, I just think for me, I've that approach from like thinking I'm all that and a bag of chips at the beginning of the journey, and you know, everybody get on board or get off, but I'm so cool. Like, you know, that's a common thing in college, I think, for most of us. We think
yes.
We're
I was right there too.
Yeah. I think I've met many people who have also had that same mindset in that age range. But I just think like as I've grown and God has just pulled me in deeper and shown me more of what he wants for his kingdom out of me. I just think overall I've just been able to offer things with more of an open hand as a musician.
That's awesome.
And as an artist, and to know what I love and to trust that has a place in the kingdom and that serves God. And to bring that, and for those who resonate with it, to hopefully they can find it. And for those who don't, maybe we can make something together that we both like, you know? I don't know. That's all I got right now.
Well,
is that helpful?
It is. So like, you know, you just recently released Great Redeemer.
Yeah.
Right. And so
that's a fun song.
Yeah, it's an incredibly fun song. And I think what's interesting is you just kind of look at your catalog. And so you have songs like Faithfulness or Glory to Your Name and now Great Redeemer. Like, walk me through. So, like, let's take Great Redeemer first. Like, what were you thinking when you wrote that? What was the goal for why you were writing that? Like, what did you want to do? Or are you just like, I just want to write a synth pop worship song, like, which could be totally fine.
So Great Redeemer actually really started out of a place of just being struck by the joy that comes from remembering we're redeemed. That's really the simple version of it. And then from there, as time went on, I kind of started to feel like, let's go weird 80s with it. And then it just kind of gathered a life of its own as time went on, and different folks kind of collaborated on it in their own ways. Drummers, like, for example, Chris Fleming, who drummed on that, when he brought the drum track, immediately things opened up in my brain. Like, I had sent him a few ideas of some things, but when he played on it and I got that track back, I had no notes for him. Like, usually when I send something out, I'm like, great, that's good, let's tweak this, let's move this around, and like, but I got that back right away and was like, okay, I just picked my jaw up off the floor. sounds good. Done.
Like, perfect.
And now a whole bunch of other things have opened up for me as far as what's possible in this tune. So it's really fun to like start from that point and then let the production kind of be this like larger than life thing. It's a party, right? Redemption in God is a party. And so why can't a song reflect that? That's kind of my overall production approach. So I actually have produced everything except for my first EP myself.
Wow.
Which at first, like the first two songs that I had started to try to produce were Let Us Praise the Lord and Glory to Your Name. And those were like songs that I think, like if I had to be brutally honest, like I love those songs, I'm proud of those songs, but they were kind of the ones where I had to prove it to myself first. And I kind of was like, can I do this? Should I even do this? Can I do this even to a level that's satisfactory? If I'm honest, those are the questions I was asking as I was producing those and writing those. Cause that was actually, those were actually some of the, that was in a first batch of songs out of kind of a season of laying music down. Or I should say writing and releasing music.
Wow.
Laying that down and just being a part of a church and loving that and learning to love that truthfully, and learning to celebrate who the church is and who the local church is that I've gotten to be a part of. And thankfully, in that same season, I got to actually work with a lot of churches. So I would lead at Rock Point a couple times a month, and then the other couple of times a month, I'd find myself somewhere else. Wow. Not often the same place twice. In the metro, in the Minneapolis area, and sort of in the Midwest. Really cool experience. It actually multiplied my experience a lot.
That's so cool.
As far as seeing a lot of different denominations, how they hold things. And so it's kind of like this tour of the church to some extent, right?
Yeah.
And which felt very appropriate, still feels appropriate to like learning to love the church 101, if you will. Put that in a college class and charge $40,000 for it. But anyways,
tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, yeah. So that was kind of the start of that. And then at a certain point, then just feeling like it's time to pick that back up and walk into that and then start to prove it to myself that maybe I have some of that in me already and learning the ropes on what I don't have. And then going from there, the rest of the tunes, really just starting to ask the question, like, what am I trying to say in the song? And then how do I reflect that in my production?
Wow.
And to kind of use that. So Great Redeemer, I think, is one of the best versions of that to date for me. That's out right now. There are a few others I'm excited for. But
yeah. We're talking about that in a second. I think you just have such a cool perspective about that. And I love that, you know, so similarly, when I was younger, I would kind of tour youth groups and play in worship bands. And so I got to get exposed to like what you would typically see in an Anglican church or like Episcopalian church or a Reformed Baptist church or a Presbyterian and like just, you know, non-denom. And it was really cool to kind of give me, like you said, a broader sense of how the bride of Christ can worship the Lord through song. And it's all fine. None of it's wrong. Like none of it was wrong in that way. And it was just a really cool perspective. So I had a very eclectic perspective of sonic styles and how you can express yourself. And so I love that. And I also love just what you said about like, why not be joyful? It's a beautiful thing that if we've been redeemed, why? It's the psalmist saying, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in the Lord, for I shall again praise him, my rock and my salvation. Like, why ever sit there and go, woe is me, if we have so much in him, and we have so much in him because he's redeemed us? I think it's incredible. So I want you, because we're getting close to time, I want you first to tell people, I think this is a great question I want people to know. Do you produce for other people? Like, if someone were to say, hey, Hunter, I would love for you to produce my single for me. Are you saying you're just like the producer, or are you the mixer, master? Like, what would you do? Would you do that?
I would. I have done some of that in small ways in the past, and I absolutely would love to go on that journey with other artists. I think there's something really life-giving to get to give sonic representation to the lyrics that someone's brought. So I would love that. That'd be super fun. I really love when I get to do that.
I
stick to production because I think, at least in my personal experience, what I've noticed is there's a really beautiful thing that happens when you've been in something for so long, you sort of aren't new to it. And so when I get done with producing a song, I'm not fresh to it at all. I don't have fresh ears to it. And so the quickest way to get it to have fresh ears, or to have fresh ears on it for the next stage, which is mixing, is to send it to someone else who has never heard this before.
I love it.
And to communicate that. And so for me, that's been a really valuable part to the process, is to send it to a mix engineer. Maybe they're a producer as well, and to bring it to them and say, okay, now it's your turn and I'm handing this off to you.
Wow.
Bring your fresh perspective. Zach Fody mixed Great Redeemer. My friend Aaron Ankrum has mixed some of my previous stuff. And he's also produced some of my previous stuff as well. And so I really love that collaborative exchange too. When you say, okay, I'm at the end of my creative sauce to this song. Now you bring yours. And I think that that's sort of a picture of the kingdom and the church as well. So to get to hand that off is a really beautiful thing. I have mixed other people's stuff before too. And I find that I just come fresher to it when I haven't been the one to produce it.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I have this dream and I need to make it a reality. My dream is to, I told Ronnie Martin, I had him on the podcast the other day. He's the one of the Happy Rant guys. And he's also a really interesting musician himself.
Oh, sweet.
And I told him my dream is to write a song from every prayer in the Valley of Vision Puritan book.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite books of all time. Mm. And there's like 200 something prayers. It's a lot. And I'm at
that's a catalog.
I'm at like 9 right now. I don't even know if I have, where is it? It's insane. It's this guy.
There okay.
And it's that long.
Oh my gosh.
So it's got, let's see how many. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's basically 200. 200, exactly. And I want to approach it with, every time I write a song from there, I approach it with just like, all right, I'm just going to sit down, read it. And if whatever genre comes to it, it just comes to it. But I think it would be really cool if I ever actually put it to music, like get it produced. Mm. It would be cool to even get different people to produce different songs, right? So it could be like, I want you to help. I think you'd be really good for this one that I did. And like every single song could just sound completely different. 100%. And you inspire me. Like you, I love it. You're inspiring me to be like, man, I really need to freaking get on that so that I can have that happen. And then I need to hit up Hunter to produce one of the songs. Maybe even the first one. Who knows? Okay. Anyway.
Let's do it.
All right.
I'm in.
So we're kind of at time, but I want people to know where to find you. So Hunter Fraser, it's hunterfraser.com. You have your own website and you, there you can find all your music. Mm-hmm. And so they can find all of your singles where you're always looking to over your left shoulder.
Yeah, I am always doing that. I have yet to have professional photos taken, which is probably it. We're long overdue for that.
No, I think it's fine. You look over your left shoulder and you take a picture. It's pretty simple, and I like it.
Here we go. Done. I just gotta look and be like, right there. That's where the song is. Click there.
Yeah, you're
can we do that? Can
that
we do that on the podcast? Can we just click right here?
Wait, I need
to, there we go. Right
what
there.
What I need to do is send you. You have to send me a really good picture of you pointing, so that I can put that on the podcast. Okay,
do it.
So
do it now.
HunterFraser.com. I think just go there because then you'll have links to all his socials. You have Instagram, you have Facebook, you have YouTube, you have mailing as well. So if you want to email him or book him, he also has a shop. But do you still have stuff? Do you still have any merch, or are they all out?
I don't know. Let's find out. Let's see what it says when I click shop. I have the website up because I do have some of this stuff. Yeah, I have it.
I gotta get me one of those t-shirts at some point.
Oh, bro. Come on. I got you.
Soft ring spun cotton shirt. Pre-shrunk.
They're really nice. I'm actually wearing one. So what I did is I just bought bulk t-shirts and then my sister actually printed those ones. So it's like a family affair, this t-shirt is. But I liked the t-shirt so much that I'm like, I'll just make these my own personal t-shirts.
I love it.
I'm just going to order more. Yeah.
Well, I would wear the crap out of that. So I would do
sweet
that.
Man. We'll get you hooked up.
So there we go. So you've got all these, you've got all your stuff, hunterfraser.com. Here are the two things I want to ask you. One, when we go behind the paywall, what do you think, what are the good things that you see right now? Kind of like the good waves that are being made in Christian music. And what do you think are the negative ones? And it's totally fine. You know, like, no one's going to think you're super negative if you say it. I think it'd be really cool to get your perspective because you have such a shepherd's mentality that your negative wouldn't just be deconstructing Sassy Hunter. It would be a really good perspective on it.
Oh, I can get snarky. I don't know.
Yes. As someone who constantly ragged me for my deep fried hot dog. Yes, I do know you can be snarky. And then the second one would be, what's a song that you've written that has such a deep kind of connection to you and your relationship with the Lord? Like, is there a song that you've written that you every time you even think about or you play, you instantly break down? And then, so those are the two questions. But other than that, everyone knows where to find you. Is there anything else? I know you're working on you have a Christmas EP that will probably be coming out soon.
It's coming out this year at some point, probably Christmas time. I hope Christmas time.
I love Christmas. I'm so excited. I can't tell you how excited I am. All right, Hunter, we're going to keep talking. We're going to go behind the paywall. Thank you so much for being on this podcast. Thank you.
Glad to be here.
And I hope you have a wonderful Lord's Day as you worship together corporately where you worship. And same to you guys who are listening. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. But if you want to hear Hunter and some more of him, you have to go to buymeacoffee.com/theologyofmusic, and you can sign up to be a member, and then you can listen to this, and you get to watch and look at Hunter in his beautiful hat and flannel. Such a Minneapolis boy.
Totally.
All right. Well, we're going to go behind the paywall. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great one.